Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Brent, and Brent comes on the show to share a lifetime of psychic experiences. Brent, welcome to the show, mate.
Hi, Cade. Thanks for having me. Look, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and share some stories, and thanks for everybody who's listening, for giving their time, and it's a great experience to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on, because your email was quite unique. And one of the things that I like to do with this podcast is I try to get very unique encounters on, because if I got the same kind of encounter on over and over and over, it doesn't really help the person who's had something out of the box happen to them. And you are probably one of the more out of the box people when it comes to the psychic experiences that you've had throughout your life. So where did this really start for you, Brent? And kind of just walk us through that timeline to essentially where we are today.
Yep, sure. Well, as I said, I really appreciate this chance to share my stories. And I think that a lot of people listening to this show probably have had similar sort of things, similar sort of experiences to what I've had. But the stories that I'm going to share are actually stories that I've never really shared with anybody else. And I say that not because I'm sort of worried about them. I mean, a lot of people who come on your show do feel a bit worried about if they told their stories, would people laugh at them? And that's a bit of a factor for me too. But really, I've never had a forum or an audience who I thought would be interested in what I have to say. So, you know, kudos to you for having this podcast and letting people like me come on and talk about them. So strictly speaking, I can't really call what I've had encounters in the classical sense of, you know, a lot of your listeners will say something, I'll combine them here, like a UFO orb driven by a shape-shifting ghost Yowie portaled into my living room and abducted me and to another world. It doesn't come in quite like that. So it's more an inner experience, that things that can't be explained in ordinary terms. And I think a lot of people probably have come across this in their lives. If you ask anybody, or almost anybody at random, if you said, has anything unusual happened to you in your life, they'd probably say, yeah, well, it was this one time when this happened to me. So I'll go back and I'll start chronologically, which will help. So the first unusual thing that happened to me, or glimpse that I first got, was when I was about 4 years old, and it was my first lucid dream. And if people don't really know what a lucid dream is, it's a state of dreaming where you know that you are dreaming, basically. So it's like being awake in a dream. Now, this this experience, I'll call it an experience, was very unprecedented. I'd never had a lucid dream before. I'd never been in this state where I was aware that I was dreaming. It was also quite out of the blue. I didn't plan to do it. I was only 4 years old or something like that. It was very powerful and very surprising. And even now I can still remember it. I can still access it, even though it's been almost like 60 years or something. So basically the dream is about being on board a craft, a UFO of some sort. And so the dream, I'll just basically go through the dream, was set in the backyard of a house where we used to live on South Road in Adelaide. Now, if anybody knows Adelaide or comes from Adelaide, they know that South Road is a very busy street. It's the main road going to the south. And at the time, we were living in a place which was on the edge of the city, not really the edge of the city, but it was a bit undeveloped. It was still one of the developing suburbs. And so we had a place that had two blocks joined together. And so we had a big backyard, and there was a 7-foot wooden fence and a large grass area, you know, a bit of concrete like a patio and things like that. And so my dream is that I remember viewing myself from above, looking directly down on top of my head. I could see my hair, what I was wearing. I could see it all really, really clearly. And then suddenly, almost out of the blue, without any sense of transition or movement or anything, I was in a craft, which I understood to be a UFO, some distance above, maybe 100 meters above me. And in that craft, I was in the presence of a being or some figure or something, and we were having a conversation about the scene that I'd just seen myself in. And it wasn't really a conversation. It was more like instant thought transference, like a shared knowing. And what really surprised me about this, and in the dream, and as I remember it now, is that at this age, I was only 4 years old, I didn't really know what a UFO was. I might have seen them on TV, but I was basically still just watch Bugs Bunny or something like that. But I seemed to know that this was where I was. And I don't remember the craft as such. I just knew it was a UFO. And it was quite large, and I was in some sort of control room of some sort, or control room area. And there were other beings or entities or whatever. I didn't really look at them as I was so engaged in this conversation with this being who was next to me. But I had a sense that they were human or humanoid or whatever. And the main figure that I was interacting with was certainly, it seemed like a regular person, a normal person, quite friendly, quite benevolent, almost like a grandfather figure, but not an old person necessarily. And we seemed to sort of have a rapport or a familiarity, which indicated to me that we'd known each other for a while, or we were connected somehow, or, this was nothing out of the ordinary. And in fact, being on this UFO seemed quite normal to me. So this character or this being that I was talking to gave me the feeling, as I look back on it now, I can use this term because I know what it means, easy for people to understand, it's a bit like a spirit guide. So if you could imagine an alien humanoid spirit guide, then that's what that's the sort of person I was talking to, although very much like a real life flesh and blood being. As I said, we didn't use words. We were sort of connecting in telepathic mind speak, which was really, really efficient and really, really quick. You know, you could have a complete dialogue in almost the blink of an eye. And we were discussing the situation I'd just been in, where I saw myself from on top. And as we were having this sort of very rapid, instant dialogue, I realized, or I was made aware, that I had actually died in the backyard where I'd been standing. And I had the choice, I had the ability. This is where the dream suddenly became lucid, because I realized that this was all a dream and that I had the ability to rewind it. I could do it all over again and continue living if I wanted to. And so at this time, I said, well, yeah, of course I want to go on living. So I said, yeah, let's hit rewind. Let's reset everything. And when that thought happened, I immediately left the craft, or I was not in the craft, but back in normal reality somehow. I don't remember if I woke up straight away or if I still stayed asleep and woke up as usual, but I do remember that when I woke up, I felt really kind of perplexed, or not confused, but a little bit out of sync with what's going on. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, what's real? What's a dream? What's, you know, what is reality? It's kind of a deep philosophical question for a four-year-old. But the only thing that was really different, that really stuck out in my mind, was this dream was incredibly intense, incredibly clear, and very, very vivid in my mind. And as I say, it's still stuck with me today.
It's incredible that you remember that so well, from being so young. For it to stick in your memory kind of shows that was a core memory, just to kind of put it in the simplest terms.
Yes, well, that's right. So I don't want to try and blow my own horn, but I do have a pretty good memory. It seems better than average memory. Like I'd probably do well on some of those game shows, like what is it called? anyway, those ones where you answer questions, because I sometimes watch them and I say, oh, yeah, I know that. Not all of them. I do have blind spots like fashion or sports or some, you know. We don't play rugby here, so I don't know. I don't get the rugby ones. Anyway, but yeah, look, I heard Mary Rodwell talking on I don't think it was your podcast, it was maybe Sarah Bignall's podcast, anyway, or one of the others, and she was saying, if people who don't know Mary Rodwell, she's a hypnotherapist, I suppose you'd say. She was a retired nurse, and she does a lot of work with people who've been on been abducted or had alien encounters and things like that. And she says that dreams of alien encounters are more likely to be real if they are easily remembered, as most dreams seem to fade away within a few seconds of waking up. And this is definitely, as I said, definitely been decades and decades. It's still not crystal clear, but it's still very strong. So, I can't claim that I actually had a physical encounter, but it was very, very real. So the thing about this dream is that I didn't put it together until some years later, when I was actually thinking about it, is that I connected another experience I had in the backyard of the house where we were living. Now, as I said, South Road is a main road connecting the city to the southern suburbs and has lots of traffic going backwards and forth all the time. And at the time we were living there, we had a family dog, who used to run up and down, barking at these cars and going crazy, you know. And he was a bit of a mean dog to most people, but he seemed to get on well with me. And, you know, I was one of the few members of the family who actually had a good relationship with him. So I was standing near him one day at the fence, and when suddenly, like out of the blue, something struck me onto the top of my head. Like, I remember it was like a jolt, like bam. And, you know, suddenly it was very, very briefly, I wasn't actually in a different realm, but I don't know if you know what it's like getting hit on the head and you're suddenly a bit, not concussed, but, you know, you don't know where you are.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I've been hit in the head more times than I'd like to care.
Yeah. Look, it happens. You know, heads and objects often meet and people get that experience. So, look, just for the briefest split second, you know, bam, I was in this altered dreamlike state or whatever. And it's not that I remember that as being the UFO, but it's something that I can now connect those two experiences. So I was knocked down and started crying because I was only 4 years old. And my mother came out and, you know, a bit of blood was coming out, and it was a nasty knock. But it was not so bad that I'd go to the doctor or anything like that. You know, she put me to bed or put an ice pack on it, and it was, it was all okay. And my mother's a bit of a sleuth, or, you know, she likes to investigate these sort of things, and she talked to her friends, who talked to their friends or whatever, and they found out that it was a couple of schoolboys who threw a half a red brick, if you know what that, you know, if you'd imagine that, over this fence at the dog that was running backwards forwards. They thought it would be a good idea to throw a brick at this dog and see if they could hit him or get him worked up or whatever. And so, and I know this because my mother found out who they were and got them to turn up at the door one day, and they apologized and, you know, were very, very apologetic about the whole thing. But when I look back on this, when I connect these two, where I was standing when I got hit by the brick was exactly the same spot, exactly the same orientation and everything as my dream.
Oh, so, really?
Yes. I might be getting that wrong after these, like I say, many decades, but from what I remember and what I can tell you, hand on my heart sort of thing, the same thing happened. So I don't know if these things are 100% connected, but for me, I think they would be. I don't know if I would have died from a hit on the head with a brick. It is possible. It wasn't as bad as I thought, so maybe, obviously it didn't happen. I have done a fair bit of research and a lot of reading or listening to podcasts and like yours and things like that, and there are people who describe this in near-death experiences or psychic experiences, where they have this rewinding of the death experience, okay? So, and especially this idea of dialogue with the guides, this element, okay? So it happens, and some people say it will happen to everybody several times in their lives, and they don't even know about it because, of course, you've rewound and you've reset and you've continued on your life. Things like near misses, or that miraculous near miss. You know, you're riding that motorbike too fast, going around the bend, and there was a kangaroo in the middle of the road, and you swerved and you drove the bike like, you know, better than Evel Knievel would, you know, or some, you know, miraculous thing like that happens, or whatever. Often they say, people will say, often these things are when we have actually died, gone to another realm, or gone to a higher plane or whatever it is, had a bit of a discussion thinking, no, this is not quite what I want. I want to rewind the whole thing, go back and, keep on going. So
that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That it kind of makes you think about every close encounter that you've had with danger and kind of go, did I get a second chance there?
Yes, well, that's right. And it's not something we can objectively prove. You can't have evidence because it's been rewound, and so there is no evidence. But it's something that seems true to me. And, it really gives us an indication about memory and what happens in our lives and how we construct our lives. Now, I know that, for example, a lot of people have come on your show and said they've had an encounter with a Yowie, for example, and they will say, oh, yeah, I was there with my mates and we saw this Yowie, but, the person next to them said, no, I didn't see that. It was a kangaroo or whatever. People can alter their memories, or maybe Yowies or aliens or whoever can alter them for us. And, makes you think a little bit about the perception of reality.
Yeah, definitely. And, you're right. It is something that you hear fairly regularly when it comes to these types of encounters with, basically paradigm-breaking situations, that some people's realities fracture too much for them to really comprehend it, and some people fully embrace it and completely understand everything that's happened to them.
Yes, that's right. So as I said at the beginning of the talk here, that, what I've got is not anything, really, really unusual, but I suppose it's the matter, it's the fact that I've picked up on it, or, I might have just dismissed that dream, and I might not have put the two events or two incidents together and made that connection. But, I sort of picked up on it, and, it's all about noticing. And so, a lot of people desensitize themselves by sort of saying, no, that doesn't fit in my worldview, and they disregard it, and they basically desensitize themselves to what's going on. Look, that's sort of the end of that one, because I never had other dreams about UFOs. It's never happened to me before, never happened to me since. And, I can't say that I've seen UFOs or anything like that. I have had, I'll tell you a little bit of about an out-of-body experience I had. I don't think that was in the email, but it has to do with the dog that was running up and down the fence, barking at the cars. And 3 or 4 years after that event with the UFO and the brick in the head, my family moved up into the Adelaide Hills, up into an old house, which is a bit creepy when you're very young, because it was very, there's no one around. It was, the nearest neighbor was 300 or 400 meters away, and then there was nothing. When we moved up there, the dog we had came with us, but he was getting a bit old by then, and he didn't really like living there, even though there were rabbits to run after and, lots of bush to explore. He's getting very old, and he eventually died without any cars to chase. He lost all interest in living, and my father carried him away and buried him near an old stone cottage at the bottom of the driveway to our place, where, he didn't want all the kids to see where the the dog was getting buried. And nothing happened. You know, I'd forgotten about the dog. I'd forgotten about all of this until I was probably... So we moved there when I was about 7. So when I was about 24 or 25, I think, I was actually staying. I was living in this cottage, you know, had to move away from the house and have a bit of space. And I was sleeping in the bed in the front room, and probably about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, I was asleep, but, you know, you're that drowsy sort of state where you know it's morning, you're sort of half awake, half asleep. And I suddenly felt on my feet, on my legs, this weight pressing down. And when I woke up, I could feel that it was this dog that had died 12, 13 years before or whatever it was. And, you know, I was really surprised. You know, very happy to see him. So I reached down, I was patting him, and I don't know why he was there. He was just sort of there to say hello. He wasn't really trying to comfort me or protect me or aid me in any way or do anything. He was just there. And it was really strange. And I was thinking, oh, you know, his name was Tigger. I actually tried to say Tigger. Tigger, you're here. And when I tried to say that, I suddenly realized that I wasn't in my body. I couldn't speak because I was actually half sitting up out of my body, sort of my top half of my torso was out, and I was patting this dog, which was, you know, really sort of like a ghost dog or something, I suppose. And once that happened, once I realized that, then suddenly I snapped back into my physical body and was, you know, jolted awake, instantly awake. And sat up, and it was like very, very, again, very disorienting, you know, a little bit of confusion there.
Yeah, that would be. Is that your first out-of-body experience? Because I know earlier we kind of spoke about lucid dreaming, and my mind was wondering if it wasn't lucid dreaming, if it was more so an astral travel that you were doing there, because the way that you describe everything sounded like it was more than a dream. You just had too much of a recognition. I can't really say the word. Too much knowledge of the surroundings for it to be just a dream. And I know it's lucid dreaming where you're controlling it, but I just had that feeling that maybe that was more out of body. And this later story, you know, really leads a little bit more credence to that. Have you ever considered that? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Oh yeah, look, that's what I consider it to be. Lucid dreaming happens for me sporadically, without planning. I sometimes do meditation or, you know, calming my mind and, you know, do Tai Chi. I used to do Tai Chi and things like that. Or yoga. I haven't really done them for a while, so I haven't really had lucid dreams for a while either. But look, I think they are connected, and that some dreams, especially the lucid ones, what I would call astral projection. Some people will say all dreams are projecting into the astral realm, and that would probably be true too. But the ones that are very, very real and vivid and memorable are the ones where you're actually able to astral project and keep your awareness there. Most dreams are kind of random and they sort of flow all over the place. But these two that I've mentioned so far really were focused, and I was really aware of what was going on and things like that. So, I think you're right.
Yeah, and sorry to like jump in when you're telling the story, but I knew if I just didn't get that off my chest, it would have eaten me up forever.
Yeah, look, please, jump in as much as you can, because I'm going to keep on going. I'll move on to the next glimpse, I suppose, of the psychic realm I've had. And again, this one comes back to a matter of remembering. And as I say, I'm probably blessed with a more than average memory. But again, when I was living in this old stone cottage in the Adelaide Hills, I had another memory come flooding back. And it's, again, I wasn't doing anything specific like meditating or, you know, rehashing my past. I was just sort of sitting idly in the room, sort of drifting off and not thinking about anything. But this memory came back, and it was a memory that I had many, many times when I was younger, but I'd forgotten about it. So I was probably about late 20s when I had this re-emergence of this memory. And what I remembered was the experience of getting christened in a church. Now, I know that happened when I was about 3 or 4 weeks old. And, it's kind of bizarre, because I have a very formed memory. I had a very formed idea of who I was. Now, I can remember, I'll explain the memory. I remember being held by the priest in the crook of his left arm. So, you know, he's sort of holding, you know, as you hold a baby. You know, I was wrapped up in swaddling cloth. So, you know, I couldn't move. I was very tight. And he was holding me in his left arm. And I don't remember seeing this or anything, but I remember the scene kind of thing. There were relatives, you know, maybe a dozen relatives, you know, my parents and my two brothers and, grandparents and maybe an aunt or uncle or something. And anyway, I remember the priest getting water from the font and making the sign of a cross on my forehead. And, you know, as he did this, he said, "In the name of Christ, I christen thee Brent Noel Chapman." And as that happened, I felt the sensation of a drop of water running down my forehead and along my nose and cheek, you know, next to my eye, my right eye. And at the time, I had a sudden awareness or realization that came into my mind. It's, oh, right, so this is who I am this time. And, you know, it was like this action or this deed was focusing me into this body with this name at this time. And I had that awareness from, it sort of came from a beingness or a sense of existence that preceded being born. Kind of extended back into a time, you know, a place or an existence. I couldn't really remember or perceive exactly, but I knew it was kind of a greater knowingness, a greater awareness that I'd come from. And I realized that this was my life. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to be. This is who I'm going to be for this life. this is what I'm moving into. So I'm going to be very, very focused as this person in this situation, this body, for this life. A useful analogy that I came across the other day was like this. If you can imagine becoming like a single grain of sand, if you can imagine focusing yourself down into becoming a single grain of sand, when really who you are is all the grains of sand on the planet, all the grains of sand and all the beaches and all the oceans everywhere, and you suddenly become like a single grain, or even beyond the planet, you know. And you're doing that because it's the beginning of an adventure or an experience. And it's just like one of another, a never-ending series of adventures. So, again, I can't really prove that to anybody. I don't have any evidence that I can show somebody. But for me, this is my knowing, my knowingness, that I have that connection, which I think is really, it's sort of helped me become aware of greater possibilities, greater realms, or greater awareness. And it's something I've been able to sort of use later on.
It almost sounds like, and I don't want to sound like I'm putting words in your mouth or anything here, but it kind of sounds like you're almost alluding to like a second, third life type of scenario.
Oh, you mean like reincarnation?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, that's definitely what it is. I've never done past life regressions. Oh, actually, I have. I have done a little bit. I think I got a CD. I was sort of interested in this and did a CD about this, but I didn't get any results. Oh, I got a few. I've actually had, again, I'm not being 100% accurate, but I have had some, you know, memories come up. And the thing, look, I'll tell you about psychic impressions is that you don't judge them. You don't say, oh, I'm just making this up, or, oh, no, that can't be right, or, you know, I've heard that before, it sounds cliched, or whatever. You just accept them and you just take them on and you say, okay. And because when the more you do that, the more you can open up to it, and the more, you know, the more will come. Look, I have had many, so in that sense, I've had many impressions and memories of previous lives. Again, I can't say, you know, I can't, like, you can hear some stories about people who've been reincarnated and they can describe the village where they were born and, you know, where it was on the map and things like that. And people have gone back and looked at the map and said, oh, wow, there was a village there. It's been erased, or, you know, it no longer exists, but it was there at this time. And, you know, that's like some sort of corroboration, you know, some sort of verification. I can't do that particularly. But I've had some very strong sort of impressions or messages or something that confirm, yeah, that I've had previous lives. But I think that basically everybody has, you know.
How does that make you feel? Like, does that make you feel like you're the luckiest person alive? Because it's kind of like, all right, here's another punch card, go around for another round.
Oh, right. Yeah, look, I hadn't thought of that in that sense, because look, it just seems very natural that when these things happen to me, when these memories come to me, or when these experiences come to me, I don't, as I say, I'm try to be very accepting of them and not resist them and not label them or define them and just say, well, okay, that's natural. And you know, I believe that everybody, if they pick up on it, you know, if they're sensitive enough or they give it enough attention and notice things enough, that they'll probably find that they've got these things as well happening for them. There's if you look at it, there's hundreds and thousands of stories of reincarnation, and many of them can be corroborated or verified, as I say. Now, you find some people say, well, you know, this person claimed to be Cleopatra, and yet this other person also claimed to be Cleopatra, and then there's two dozen other people who claim to be Cleopatra. So it's obviously not right because somebody's lying. But it's not. That's not necessarily the case. It is more the case that two dozen people are tuning in to the frequency or the experience of being Cleopatra. So it doesn't mean they all have to be Cleopatra. And look, I don't think we've got enough time to go into the whole thing about reincarnation, and the nature of existence. But what I got from this experience, as I say, you know, I've suddenly become this single grain of sand, when really I've been a whole planet of sand or a whole universe of sand. The possibilities are, you know, endless. You know, you could be any number of individuals, and also any number of individuals could be you. Okay, it's just that where you're focusing happens to be who you are now.
I have a really weird question for you, because it kind of makes me wonder where you are in the universe and, you know, where you are as a person. But does it make you cherish or care less about significant moments in your life? And I know that's going to sound like a weird, maybe horrible question, but when something terrible potentially happens, or something kind of amazing happens to you, does it just kind of roll off like water on a duck's back to you? Because in the grand scheme of things, that really may not matter.
Okay. That's a fantastic question. Thanks for that. And I really appreciate it. And I've kind of thought about a similar thing when I was going through and thinking of the stories I'll be telling today. And it reminds me of a guest you had on your show, who had like what's called a past life review, or not a past life review, a life review, sorry, where they had a near-death experience or something like that, and they went through all these scenes in their life. I forget the name of the person, but anyway, and I'm sure listeners have heard of this life review. And the thing that this person was saying, and this is something I can connect with, is that a lot of these scenes that they saw were not great, fantastic, you know, or when I got married, or the birth of my first child, you know, when I graduated from college or whatever it was. It was simple things like, oh, you know, I was swinging in the playground with my best friend, or, you know, I went down to the cafe and had a coffee, or something like that. You know, that just really can be mundane, small things. And it's the small things that make the big things big, and the big things also define the small things in a way. So they're not that anyone is better or worse. And so I know some people who are really into reincarnation will say, oh, look, doesn't matter what I do, I'll get it right next time. I'll have another go around or whatever. But, you know, that's kind of devaluing the whole experience of being here and now. I was going to move on to this a bit later on, but I'll tell you this now. You've heard the expression that, you know, there is no past or present. There's only the eternal now.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. So I believe that's true, okay? I believe that everything's now, okay? And it's just where we're choosing to focus ourselves that determines what we're experiencing, okay? So we are, as a human experience is limited. And that's what this experience of getting christened, that's what it brings back to my mind, because it allows me, in a sense, to have a connection to the feeling of being unlimited. I know some people, especially those who've had near-death experiences, can say that they've gone to a better place, or they've gone to heaven or hell in some cases, if that's what they believe. But they're very, very few. They say that it devalues being here, you know, because they want to get back there, and they think, wow, you know, what's the point of being here? They get depressed. Some people have near-death experiences and get depressed. But the thing is that I can't say that I've really got that connection, but I've got a knowingness, I've got a feeling for it. And what my feeling tells me is that coming here into this life, which has a start and an end, you know, we're always here for however many years we've got. It's here to have the experience of being alive. And so it can be great experiences like birth of your first child or getting married or all those things, which are amazing, and we shouldn't devalue them. But it can be simple things too, like, you know, the time you were walking with your grandmother and, you know, you saw a beautiful sunset, or even a rainy day or something like that. They're all things that that people are here to experience. And it's not that one is better than the other necessarily. It's just that it's a real thing that we have chosen to focus ourselves upon now. Another thing some people have said is that life is a dream, you know, it's all an illusion or it's all a dream. And that may be true. I mean, if you look at quantum physicists, they will say, look, what we think is solid is really just a big soup of vibrating atoms, which happens to give the impression or the illusion of solidity. So look, what we're experiencing now may be a dream, and the afterlife or the other side or whatever is is more real. It might be that, but the thing is, the experience here is real. You know, life may be a dream, but the experience is real. So every experience you have is worthwhile, even the ones that you prefer not, you know, like getting dumped by your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whoever, or any of those negative things. It's all just an experience. And, you know, we're working through them, we're choosing them, we're creating them for ourselves. And, yeah, to come back to your question, I don't get blasé about it. I think everything is great, you know, even having to get up in the morning and going to work. You know, I try to put a positive spin on it, because, you know, you may as well. It's going to happen anyway. You're going to have to do these things, and so why not choose to be happy about it? And so I say, rather than saying, oh, gee, now I have to get up and go to work, I say, now I get up. Now I get to get up and go to work. Now I get to experience this. And I think people get a little bit upset because they start to feel that they're not worthy of, you know, the life that they want. But the more you can expand your awareness, the more you become aware of these greater realities, the more you can think, well, yeah, I'm okay, this thing might not suit me, but I'm worthy of so much more, because, you know, I came here to experience, and I'm going to experience what I want.
Brent, you have been such an insightful person to talk to tonight. I feel like my level of consciousness has raised just by talking to you, and the life that you've lived is very unique. And I know that we've really only kind of touched the tip of the iceberg, quite literally, in regards to the encounters that you've had in your life. But it was almost poetic just to let you talk, because everything is just so insightful, so powerful, and so full of meaning, which is quite unique when it comes to this podcast. So I'm really glad that we chatted tonight, because you've been just so enlightening.
Oh, thanks, Gade. Look, I appreciate that, and I definitely do. And And also, I appreciate, even though we can't have a bit of feedback, I appreciate people listening to this too. And look, if this podcast wasn't here, if this forum wasn't here, then this would have just stayed in my mind. It would just been potential, would never have been realized. And so I wouldn't have had this experience, and you and the listeners wouldn't have had this experience. And look, I hope people from hearing my story and my stories will get a sense that there are things out there, and I'm sure everybody's had them, and that they just a matter of picking up on them, picking up on these little fragments of the unusual, you know, catching these glimpses and saying, well, yeah, that's really, you know, it opens up a whole new door.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.